Amen. Calvary covers it all. He paid all of our debts. He paid the cost. Salvation is complete. Now forever I'm free. Let's revel in that as we come to the Lord. Heavenly Father, we want to just take these moments as we prepare to open your word together, to ask your Holy Spirit just to descend upon us. And to help us to be aware again of the greatness of your grace. We cannot wrap our heads all the way around it, nor our hearts. But we bow before you in humble thanksgiving that Jesus Christ is the all-sufficient one. And his grace is sufficient for our every need. And so now we pray that you just captivate our thoughts and the deepest intent of our heart to the person of Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen. Max Lucado, in his book entitled Grace, relates the story of two Christian doctors, a father and a daughter, who were on a mission trip to Zimbabwe together to treat AIDS patients. Dr. Kyle Sheets, the founder and chairman of Physicians Aiding Physicians Abroad, was on his 12th trip to Zimbabwe. During a surgical procedure on an AIDS patient, his scalpel slipped and he cut himself. Now, both he and his daughter, Heather, knew that this was serious. She urged him to immediately take the antiretroviral treatment that is supposed to help prevent HIV infection. He was reluctant to do so, knowing the possibility of serious, even life-threatening side effects from the treatment. But HIV is also serious and life-threatening. So finally, he relented to the urging of his doctor daughter and consented to the treatment. Within hours, he was violently ill and displaying symptoms of Stevens-Johnson syndrome, which is almost always fatal. They needed to return home as quickly as possible, but wondered if he would even survive the 40-hour trip. When they boarded the airplane, he had a fever of 104.5 degrees Fahrenheit, which is just over 40 degrees Celsius. He had trouble breathing, he was incoherent, and he was in liver failure. Several minutes into the flight, with her father now asleep, Heather, exhausted and feeling the gravity of the situation and her father's illness, made it to the washroom just in time to be violently sick. Afterwards, she curled up on the floor and she prayed, "Lord, I need help." Some time passed as she lay there crying out to God, and a knock came on the door. She opened the door and four men stood there asking if she was okay. It turned out that they were all doctors. And when Heather apprised them of the situation and asked for their help and prayers, they told her there were another 96 doctors on board that airplane. Among them was a top-tier infectious disease specialist. This is an amazing story. Heather's father survived the trip, recovered from the reaction with no traces of HIV. It is a miracle from the hand of God. Her father recalls that many times when he had been on a flight, a call had come over the loudspeaker asking, "Is there a doctor on board?" And in every case, he was the only doctor on board. He had wondered when he was boarding the airplane if there would be any doctors on board that airplane that could help he and his daughter. God answered by placing him on an airplane with 100 other doctors on board, including the specialist that he needed. That's amazing grace. And that's an amazing answer to prayer and a wonderful example of the sufficiency of Christ as they face their ordeal and to bring them through. The Apostle Paul was facing difficulty. What it was, we do not know. He described it as a thorn in the flesh, a messenger from Satan to torment me, is his words. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 8, we read, "Three times I pleaded with the Lord to take it away from me, but he said to me, 'My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness.'" In Paul's situation, his prayer was not answered as he would have wished. His prayer was answered. It was answered with the promise, "My grace is sufficient for you. My grace is sufficient for you." It's exactly the same promise that God has given to all of Jesus' followers down through the ages to this very day. He still gives that same promise. That same promise is for me today. It's for you today in whatever situation that you face. The term "sufficient," "my grace is sufficient," in the original is a double statement. It is, first of all, a statement of competency, that Jesus and his grace were competent to see Paul through, and his grace is competent and able to see us through. The word "sufficient" also means an adequate supply. It's a statement of supply. There is enough. In fact, there is more than enough to meet your need. What Jesus is really saying here is, "I am sufficient." And of course, the title of the message is "The All-Sufficiency of Christ." Reminds me of a chorus. "He is able, he is able, I know he is able, I know my Lord is able to carry me through. He heals the brokenhearted, and he sets the captive free. He made the lame to walk again, and he caused the blind to see." Jesus is saying, "I am enough. My strength will not diminish. My presence will not fade. My grace is sufficient." Now, you might expect that the title of the message would be "The All-Sufficiency of Grace," but in reality, it's truly all about the all-sufficiency of Christ, and so that's why I've chosen that title. Some 8 years ago, the message that I bring you this morning was the message that wrapped up a journey of 47 messages exploring the subject of grace. See, grace is a huge subject. In reality, it's inexhaustible because it's truly about Christ and his work for us, in us, and through us. That series was not a planned series. It was quite an accidental one. I had thought perhaps 3 or 4 messages maximum on the subject, but as the weeks unfolded, the messages kept coming. As I waited on the Lord, I was often amazed at the directions that he led me in and the messages that came as a result. Not one of the message subjects did I know ahead of time, but week after week, they grew out of prayer and seeking his direction. Many times I thought the conclusion was near, but the Lord had other plans. You know, if you want to make God laugh, tell him what your plans are. The first half of that series of messages were foundational to our understanding of who we are and what we are in Christ, as we grappled with the scope and the demands of grace. See, grace is not simple. Grace is not cheap, nor is it without demands, unlike the superficial thinking of too many. The greater portion of the second half of that series was about the rewards of grace. What happens in our lives when we allow God to accomplish His work of grace in our lives on a daily basis? It is a series I might revisit someday, but it was the message that concluded that series some 8 years ago. I tell you all that so that you have a concept that grace is a huge subject, and that the grace of Christ and Christ Himself is sufficient for our every need, because He is the all-sufficient one. For Jesus Christ is the creator of the world. He's the sustainer of the world. He's the great I Am. He is called Wonderful, Counselor, Prince of Peace, the Mighty God. He is the light of the world, the Lamb of God, the risen Savior, the Alpha and Omega, the bright and morning star, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and so much more. His name is Jesus, a name that is above all names, and at His name, there's coming a day, at His name, every knee shall bow and every tongue confess that He is Lord, and He alone is worthy of all praise and worship and honor and glory, and He is worthy to be the one in whom we find our all in all. Understanding the sufficiency or the all-sufficiency of Christ is essential to understanding what it means to live as a Christian, to live in Christ. And I'm going to touch on a number of those things. He is the all-sufficient one, and He is sufficient for our, number one, for our salvation. In Acts chapter 3, you read there the account of Peter and John healing a crippled beggar. And Peter simply said to the crippled beggar, "Silver and gold I do not have, but what I have I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, walk." And he was healed. The Jewish leaders were scared. 5,000 men came to faith in Christ because of that healing of that beggar and John and Peter's preaching as they heard it. So Peter and John were thrown into jail for the night and then hauled before the Sanhedrin to give an answer. And in Acts chapter 4, beginning at verse 8, we read these words. "Then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, 'Rulers and elders of the people, if we are being called to account today for an act of kindness shown to a cripple and are asked how he was healed, then know this, you and all the people of Israel, it is by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, but whom God raised from the dead, that this man stands before you healed. Jesus is the stone you builders rejected, which has become the capstone. Salvation is found in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given to men by which we must be saved.'" And the hymn writer sums it up so well. "I need no other argument. I need no other plea. It is enough that Jesus died and that he died for me. Sufficient for salvation. Christ plus nothing." I'm reminded of the story of a young man who came to the front after a certain church service somewhere and told the pastor, "I want Jesus in my life." And that's music to a pastor's ears. And in their discussion, he told the pastor that he was a Muslim, but he wanted to have Christ. And after they prayed together, the young man beamed. "Now isn't that wonderful," he said. "I now have Jesus and Muhammad." No, the pastor said. "You don't understand. Only Jesus' sacrifice on the cross can save you. He alone is sufficient for salvation. Jesus plus nothing. He's not an addition like a second insurance policy. He alone is sufficient. He alone is all sufficient. And in Him alone must you put all of your faith. for your salvation. So, for salvation, for daily strength, for how we get through each and every day. Jesus had said to Paul, as he says to us, "My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness." Paul discovered that strength, that in spite of his weakness, okay, and now declares later in Philippians chapter 4, verse 13, he says, "I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me," because he recognized it was the strength of Christ replacing his weakness. The Amplified Version of Philippians chapter 4, verse 13 reads this, "I have strength for all things in Christ who empowers me. I am ready for anything and equal to anything through him who infuses inner strength into me. That is, I am," in bracket, "self-sufficient in Christ's sufficiency," because it's his sufficiency that supplies us. You might remember in John chapter 15, the story of the vine and the branches there. You might read it again. And the point of that passage is that apart from Christ, we can do nothing. See, there are a lot of things done in human strength alone for the kingdom of God, but it doesn't count for anything. In the finish on the judgment day, it will all be burned up as hay, wood, and stubble. It might look good now, but it won't on that day. Apart from Christ, we cannot do anything that really counts for eternity. The grace of Christ is sufficient also for the forgiveness of sin. In Acts chapter 3, we read, "Repent then and turn to God, so that your sins may be wiped out, that times of refreshing may come from the Lord." And in 1 John chapter 1, verse 9, this is a verse that should be underlined in everybody's Bible. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. He is sufficient for the forgiveness of sin, and he will forgive as we come to him. He is all sufficient for our identity and our purpose, for who we are, and what God can accomplish, what our purpose in life is. In Colossians chapter 2, verses 9 and 10, we read, "For in him," meaning Christ, "dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and you are complete in him who is the head of all principality in him." In him we are made complete. In him we experience fullness of life. In him is the real identity of who we truly are and our purpose in life. I'm reminded of someone who said, "I want to be so full of Christ that when a mosquito bites me, she flies away singing, 'There's power in the blood.'" How about that? His grace and Christ are all sufficient to meet our every need, whatever they are. Philippians chapter 4, verse 19. Paul writes this out of his own experience and deep walk with God. Paul writes, "And my God will supply all your needs according to his glorious riches in Christ Jesus." This is one of those verses that some translations kind of mess with a little bit. And the NIV being one of them, which is one I use mostly. And that verse reads, "And my God will meet all your needs." Well, I like the word "supply," because the word "supply" suggests a never-ending source for our need. We also, because of the all-sufficiency of Christ, can have confidence in prayer. Because Jesus Christ is our great high priest, he is the one who is able to sympathize with our weaknesses. He knows all about our weaknesses. Because he was tempted in every way, just as we are, yet he was without sin. And on the basis of that, and on the fact that he is our great high priest, the author of Hebrews writes in chapter 4, verse 16, "Let us then approach the throne of grace with confidence, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need." We can come to him confidently in prayer. And then he is also all sufficient for our security in him. We live in a throwaway world, don't we? Something breaks, yes, throw it away and get a new one. And that's true in human relationships, unfortunately, as well. A number of years ago, my dad was in RVH here in Barrie, recovering from some surgery. And he was in conversation with the nurse, and he told her that he and Mom had just celebrated 60 years of marriage. It'll be 67 in August. And the nurse was absolutely amazed. She was in her 30s, and she had already had numerous relationships. And she didn't think it was possible for any couple to stick it out that long. How is it possible that you've been together this long? My dad's reply was this: when something is broken, your generation throws it away. My generation fixes what's broken and keeps it. Right? There's security in that. Have you ever been afraid God might throw you away? Here's the deal. In God's heart, you're fixable and you're a keeper. That's why Jesus went to the cross. In John chapter 10, verse 27, we read, "My sheep listen to my voice. I know them, and they follow me, and I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish. No one can snatch them out of my hand. My Father, who has given them to me, is greater than all. No one can snatch them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one." We were having discussions about this in the youth group when I was growing up at the Rock Mills Church at Maxwell. And I knew that my grandmother had a wonderful explanation for this concept of our security in Christ. So I took my grandmother to the youth group, and she explained it. And simply put, in a nutshell, she took a dime. And she said, "Think of yourself as this dime. And Jesus says, you are in my hand. No one can snatch you from my hand. So here you are in Christ's hand, and he wraps his hand around you. And then she said, it says, my Father, who has given them to me, meaning us, is greater than all. No one can snatch them out of my Father's hand, for I and my Father are one. And she said, here's the picture. You are wrapped up in Christ's hand like this, and the Father wraps his hand over top of that. Now, who can get to you? They've got to go through God and Christ to get to you. See, our security isn't based on us. It's based on him. For no one can lay any foundation other than the one already laid, which is Jesus Christ. There's a hymn. It's a difficult hymn to sing, so we don't sing it very often. It's called "How Firm a Foundation." And verse 1 surrounds a rhetorical question. How firm a foundation? And it continues. What more can he say than he's already said? You know, like, here's the proof. And then it goes on and provides the answer. Let me just read for you some of the hymn. "Fear not, I am with you. Oh, be not dismayed, for I am your God and will still give you aid. I'll strengthen you, help you, and cause you to stand upheld by my righteous, omnipotent hand." How firm is the foundation of Christ? How secure is the believer in him? Hear these words as if it were God speaking to you. "My grace all sufficient shall be your supply. The soul that on Jesus does lean for repose, I will not desert to his foes. That soul, though all hell should endeavor to shake, I'll never, never forsake." How firm? Firm. How shakable? Unshakable. When someone asks, "How are you?" what do you say? "Oh, I'm fine." Right? Well, try this one on for size the next time somebody asks you how you are. "I'm saved, I'm sanctified, and I'm satisfied in the all-sufficiency of Christ my Savior." How's that for a tongueful? But that's the way that God intends his people to live. Saved, sanctified, and satisfied in the all-sufficiency of Christ our Savior. Christ is all-sufficient. And his grace enables us further to live a godly life. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3. "His divine power has given us everything we need for life and godliness through our knowledge of Him who called us by His own glory and goodness. He is all sufficient. When I was a young pastor, I still am. Okay? Just add a bit of packaging and handling, and don't let the hair color fool you. I promise you it's premature. When I was a young pastor, another pastor that I had been in college with had had a serious moral failure that ended his being a pastor. It devastated his church, his life, and his future. In reviewing the situation with our senior deacon at the time, that senior deacon made a rather astute comment about that individual. He said to me, "You know, Pastor, what he was really saying is that Jesus wasn't enough. See, Jesus is more than enough if you don't take your eyes off Him. Jesus is more than enough if you turn to Him and turn away from sin. See, His grace is sufficient to keep us from sin and to keep us from falling. His grace is sufficient to enable us to live a godly life. We don't have to live broken. Jesus came to fix." The Apostle Peter concludes his second letter with this encouragement. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 17. "Be on your guard. Be on your guard so that you may not be carried away by the error of lawless men and fall from your secure position." Those errors, by the way, nowadays include things that man has determined to be lawful, but are not lawful in the eyes of God. Don't be fooled. Be on your guard. And then Peter continues, But grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. To Him be glory, both now and forever. Amen and amen. Do you think you can't face tomorrow? His grace is sufficient. Do you think the burdens of life are too great? His grace is sufficient. Do you think you don't have strength to carry on? His grace is sufficient, and His power is made perfect in weakness. Know this, His grace is sufficient for you. Jesus is sufficient for you. Whatever your need, whatever your situation, on this you can rest. And His grace will be sufficient for you in the hour of your death, if you're a Christian. If you have said yes to Jesus Christ and you have surrendered your life to Him, He will see you through. You can rest in Him. See, your only hope of eternity in heaven is Jesus Christ. Jesus spoke very simply and plainly to Nicodemus, who asked the question. As Jesus speaks very plainly and simply to us today, "I tell you the truth," Jesus said, "I tell you the truth, unless a man is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." God in Christ has done everything He can do for your salvation, and the ball is in your court. If you haven't said yes to Jesus yet, the ball is in your court. There's only one thing that you must do, and that is invite Jesus Christ into your heart and life. And I urge you to do it today. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we bow before You and we're in awe of Your grace. We're in awe of the fact that You love us, let alone the magnitude of Your love and Your grace and Your mercy to us. And I want to pray today for perhaps that one person who is listening, who is facing eternity and knows their days are numbered and short, knows all about You, believes You are who You claim to be, but has never said yes to You and received You into his heart. Holy Spirit of God, would You squeeze his heart and cause him to understand his need of saying yes to You? And I thank You that if he does in these moments, that You will enter his heart and his life just as You have promised. and you will be the one who is sufficient for his every need and his every day that in your great mercy you will yet grant to him. I pray this for all who listen and who have not yet said yes to Jesus. May this be the hour of their decision. May this be their prayer, into my heart. Come into my heart, Lord Jesus. Come in, I pray. Come in to stay. Come into my heart, Lord Jesus. I lift all those before you in the sound of my voice who need this touch of the all-sufficient grace of Christ. I pray for those who have had difficult diagnosis medically and are facing uncertainty. But Lord, we know that you are the one who knows the future, and we can place ourselves in your hand. And whatever our need, whatever our situation, we rest in you and we trust in your grace. For in our weakness, your strength is made perfect and we are made whole. Amen and amen.
Let the weak say, I am strong. Let the poor say, I am rich. Let the blind say, I can see. It's what the Lord has done in me. Into the river I will wade. There my sins are washed away. Mercy streams of the Savior's love for me. Hosanna, Hosanna, to the Lamb that was slain. Hosanna, Hosanna, Jesus died and rose again. Into the saving arms of God, I will sing salvation songs. Jesus Christ has set me free. Hosanna, Hosanna, to the Lamb that was slain. Jesus died and rose again. Hosanna, Hosanna, to the Lamb that was slain. Hosanna, Hosanna, Jesus died and rose again. Let the weak say, I am strong. Let the poor say, I am rich. Let the blind say, I can see. It's what the Lord has done in me.
Amen and amen. And now to him who is able to keep you from falling and to present you before his glorious presence without fault and with great joy, to the only God, our Savior, be glory and majesty and power and authority through Jesus Christ, our Savior, before all ages, now and forevermore. Amen. God bless you.